So we had the Adam Schefter report, which is the Browns are one of the teams that have had a preliminary, extensive phone calls with John Harbaugh as he tries to decide which teams he's actually going to interview with, Ian O'Connor. And he was a guy that said this weekend that the Giants were preparing to close on John Harbaugh. Now, I think he's walked that back a little bit. I think his... I don't think he intended...
How do you walk it back?
Well, how he walked it back was basically saying they intend to try and make a decision on him, but not necessarily that it's like fait accompli.
Okay, so he spoke a little heavy-handed.
Yes, yeah. but still click on his article. he has quote tweeted the Falcons, who have said, "We have interviewed John Harbaugh for their head coaching job." We talked about that about 30 minutes ago. And he said, "I've always viewed the Falcons as the biggest threat to the Giants. Matt Ryan was in charge, all around, all world player in Bijan Robinson, and the easiest road to a divisional title in the NFC South. That was just won by an 8-9 team." I would not be surprised if after 18 years in the AFC North, John Harbaugh is like, "I could go for an easier road."
Yeah, life on easy street.
But like, the problem is, you got to really believe in Michael Penix Jr. Because they are moving on from Kirk Cousins. They just did the contract redesign. That's, by the way, if Mike McDaniel gets a job here, I think Kirk Cousins could be the quarterback, which none of us want to hear. But that's a real possibility. Same thing if Matt LaFleur were to shake loose at any point, him or Malik Willis. But you're going to have to believe in Michael Penix Jr. And the same problem that reportedly people think is in Cleveland, that Jim Schwartz is, the Browns would like him to stay as the DC, the Falcons have already decided that Jeff Albright is going to stay as the defensive coordinator in Atlanta.
They said today that it was going to be a strong recommendation. So I do feel like there's some flexibility attached to that. I feel like, if anything, it was almost...
So anybody but Harbaugh has to take him?
Kind of what I read with it. The same thing with the Browns, and how we think about that. Well, not even with the Browns, because with the Browns, I guess it's more open than not that Jim Schwartz isn't with the guy. Because I was trying to think about this earlier, right, as the Falcons report actually popped up on my phone. Like, how many of these teams are trying to force the defensive coordinator or the offensive coordinator on their potential new coaches? Mm-hmm. And I it really hadn't been many. And then, like a gift from Manna, it just popped up right there that it was like, oh, yeah, Atlanta says, with Jeff Albright, it's like, yeah, you can basically we request that you have them, but it's not a certainty.
So I think I've stayed pretty consistent in that I need Jimmy to pursue John Harbaugh with a tenacity and with an intensity previously unknown to mankind.
Sure.
Like, I need him to bird dog him.
Yeah.
I also understand that there has to be interest in both parties. And Jimmy could throw out $30 million a year. It's not going to matter if John Harbaugh just looks at every other job and says, those are better jobs for what I want.
Well, that's where we got to figure out what he's motivated by.
Yeah. And I don't know at 63, given that he's been an NFL head coach for 18 years, so and comes from a football family, he's worked in football, I don't know that money's going to be the end-all be-all, other than money is a sign of power. I do think power is going to matter. But it might be as simple as Andrew Berry can stay and pick the players as long as I have control of the 53-man roster.
Well, I would imagine some of the things that he wants is some of the things... I think about this with the Browns, with Haslam, and how many different people come from situations where they didn't even know that an owner could be problematic, etc. The thing about the Ravens ownership with Piscotty was that he was very, very involved while giving off the idea and the perception that he isn't.
Yeah.
So, like, most people think that he's not involved, but if you talk to people around the league, he was incredibly involved. And so the thing I think about with the Browns kind of losing in this regard is that I don't know that Harbaugh wants to go through with a very involved owner once again, because if you've been involved with that, and he clearly just... The reason why he got fired is because he lost out that power battle where the owner wanted one thing, even when, like, Sashi Brown is trying to save him. I just don't know if you sign up that easily for that. But Arthur Blank is, I mean, Arthur Blank is very involved, too. He's a much better owner, but he's a very involved owner.
I don't know Arthur is a better owner. I don't know. And maybe it's just by process of elimination. Arthur's made a lot of whoopsie daisies over the last 6 or 7 years that... It's the same thing with Stephen Ross, where Stephen Ross kind of has this, well, he'll do... No, he's a meddler, and he's fired a lot of coaches.
Well, Ross is 100% a meddler, and he's definitely a problem.
He's also 100.
You see the problem? He's 85, okay? He's 85.
That's older than Arthur Blank, who's a spry 83.
I was going to say, he's got to be close.
I think he's got to
be close.
I prefer my younger owner.
I looked up Stephen Ross the other day. That's how I know he's 85. I don't know how old. I always thought Arthur Blank,
83 on the dot. Look at my knowledge of old-ass owners in the NFL.
He looks like death.
Well,
like there's no other way around it.
When you meddle with coaches this
Stephen
much.
Stephen Ross has aged much better than Arthur Blank
has. He also lives in Miami.
Arthur Blank looks like he's been 95.
He's got all the good drugs in Miami.
For like 15 years.
Atlanta, that's a place.
It's been a really long time. He's looked really, really old.
Like you go to the middle of Florida, not good
Stephen
drugs.
Ross could get to some tables over there in Miami still and be almost formidable.
I'd rather not.
Wouldn't you think the Miami sun would really just wear on him?
Can I tell you? So I have said, pursue him with a tenacity. You got to go after him and get a bird dog him, right?
Yeah.
If he says no, he says no.
Yeah.
But you got to try. But if he says no, there is a part of me that I'm going to treat John Harbaugh to the Browns as the Browns are being used as leverage until John was named the Browns head coach, right? Meaning, like, maybe this is protecting myself. But do I think that the Browns are probably third or fourth on his list? Yeah, I think right now the Browns have to make up the difference that the other NFL franchises have on them, right? So I'm going to treat that the Browns, because of Jimmy Haslam's reputation as a guy that, with the Deshaun trade and going the extra mile and the personal touch and all this stuff, I'm going to treat this that way. Just because I think that's probably more fair to the Browns in this situation. Like the Giants fans, if they don't get John Harbaugh, they should talk about it like they fumbled the generational bag. Because that seems to be the job he's most interested in. The Falcons at this point, everyone's pointing to Miami so much that if they don't get him, they should be treated like you must have really screwed this up. If the Browns don't, to me it's almost a no-lose situation for the Browns. Because if you don't get him, the response should be, as probably longer odds than the other jobs anyways.
Yeah, no one's got the expectation. But then shouldn't he have started with the Browns? If he's going to use the Browns as leverage, wouldn't he have wanted their all-in, push the chips in the middle of the table, basically deal, and then you take that to other teams?
Oh, I don't think you need it yet. I think this is the, hey, just so like, you know,
What team is he trying to do this for? I would think it'd be New York.
Yeah, I would too.
And so, like, if that whole goal, I guess as long as you're ahead of New York then, and then you present all this and everything that everyone can offer to the Giants and say, this is what I need, here you go.
I mean, listen, I think the Mara family is less likely to throw their GM over the side of the thing to make way for Harbaugh than the Browns are. I think the Mara family's a lot less likely to pay.
Which is wild because Joe Shane should have been fired after this year.
Well, but they are a chintzier franchise. I think it's more about this is going to sound like I'm taking a shot at the Haslams. They're very conscientious of how their word is portrayed when it comes to making a promise to somebody. That doesn't mean it's real. It doesn't mean they're better than, quote, the Haslams, but it's a perceptional thing that they take very seriously. I also think the Mara family and the Tisch family are chintzy. They don't spend a lot on coaches and GMs. They don't. They're not Mike Brown, but they're not Jimmy Haslam, who was unafraid at one point to pay three different head coaches at one time. So I think that's another thing, that if you want $20 million a year and you're John Harbaugh,
yeah,
you're going to have to pry loose with another team. I don't know Arthur Blank does it in the same way that Jimmy Haslam does it, just because of Jimmy's wild card reputation.
Part of what I've wondered within why the Belichick thing fell through with Arthur and the whole thing with the Falcons was whether or not Belichick was asking for too much money. Like, because you didn't have to pay Raheem Morris nearly as much as you had to pay Belichick. It's part of the thing we talk about with the Raiders. Raiders are paying so many coaches right now so much money, but Al Davis and the Davis family really doesn't have a lot of liquid to themselves. They don't. Mm-hmm. They're a really poor NFL franchise, all things considered. They're not going to be able to spend $30 million in order to go ahead and try to get that done, $30 million a year.
I also think it's interesting. You mentioned the thing about Arthur Blank. And again, he is thought to be a very nice man and a very considerate man and somebody that treats people very well.
He gets treated like a Disney grandpa.
He does. And I think there's a reason. Again, another guy that I think is really good with the media in a really cool way. That being said, this is a guy who, when his organization was still in the path for the playoffs, still had a chance to make a run for the division, started undermining his current GM and head coach, who, as he was undermining them, went out and basically made a late push for the division. I know they ended up coming up short.
They won the Final Four.
The best they could do was kind of play spoiler.
Final Four games, that is.
They ended up 8-9.
Yeah.
Like, this is a guy who, like, in October decided Matt Ryan was going to be his football of operations, even though they went through a totally legit search just now. So, like, I would imagine that's a huge thing that Arthur Blank has to, answer to. I don't see why Matt Ryan is all of a sudden a guy that John Harbaugh can go, this is why I want to go there.
Do you also think it was funny how the CBS desk did, like, this whole farewell thing for Matt Ryan?
Yeah, he was on that for 2 years, and he was unforgettable.
He was not good at it. It was only 2 years, and they acted like it was like Jim Nantz stepping away for the final time.
Yeah, it was really weird.
What was that?
And by the way, is Tom Brady the only guy that gets to circumvent every rule when it comes to broadcasters and owners in football? Because I should see no reason why Mr. Football Ops, Matt Ryan, who basically has the same role that Tom Brady does, just without, you know, minority ownership, why he couldn't stay on his crappy job.
It's way less involved than what Brady's is.
Oh,
because Brady meets with the teams and actually discusses things that are on the inside. Matt Ryan was just showing up on Sundays and talking.
So it's a train wreck. Atlanta is a bit of a train wreck.
Yeah, but they have good pieces, though. You know, you have Bijan, you have Drake London. Like, you have some good pieces.
But you have pieces. Miles Garrett is a real piece.
Oh, I'm not saying Denzel, the Browns don't. I think the Browns are in play here.
But I think that's what's funny to me is...
I don't see Harbaugh with Atlanta just because it just seems like a weird fit to me. I never thought Harbaugh to Atlanta.
I don't love the logic of, like, Harbaugh wants to compete.
Right, you think Harbaugh's going to go that division because he wants life on easy street? Like, that doesn't add up to me either.
Also, he's 63. He wants to win a championship. Like, so, I don't know. It's just weird to me.
It's a weird fit.
However, that I think is the thing that the Browns aren't getting enough credit for. And again, I'm not talking about just about Harbaugh. I'm talking about in general. Guys have got a lot of great pieces on defense. And even if we go to the younger crowd, Carson Schwessinger, Mason Graham, Tyson Campbell's interesting because you just traded for him, and we'll see how much that factors in. But you have four or five cornerstones of the defensive side of the ball, and I'm going to say that... that other coaches pay attention to Fannin and Quinshon as I'm pretty sure they're going to look at those guys as building blocks too. So it's weird to me that like Bijan's an incredible player.
Bijan's great.
All-world player. Who would you rather have on your team for the next 3 years? Myles Garrett or Bijan Robinson? I'm going to guess people are still going to say Myles Garrett.
Well, yeah, I mean, Miles is the best defensive player on planet Earth.
Well, but I think for some reason, the Browns aren't getting credit for Myles Garrett in the way that...
I think it's just because the offensive side of the ball looks like it's got a much cleaner chance of survival than... And really, this is an offensive league. That's really what that is.
No, fair, but like, guys...
But you don't know what Penix is going to be, and that would scare me.
If I'm picking a team based off their best player, or who I think could be their best player, well, I can coach Jackson Dart, or I can coach Myles Garrett. Guy who might be the next Tua when it comes to concussions, or like maybe the greatest edge rusher of this generation. I really don't know.
I'd rather coach the 15th best
quarterback in the NFL.
Very few teams involved in this are going to be able to stack up with if we're just doing your top players and that's it. Because ours is Myles Garrett.
So it's not.
But you have to add more than that.
No, totally fair. I think it's more that for some reason the Browns are looked at as an absolute abyss. This isn't the Browns anymore. Like, this is whoever this head coach is, isn't stepping into the same job.
Every team has guys, too, right? Like, if you talk about the Giants, we can go through Malik Nabers and then Scadaboo and then Abdul Carter and Thibodeau and all those guys. Raiders, we can bring up Max Crosby. Then we can bring all sorts of different guys.
But I think
best tight end in the game and Brock Bowers.
But like, I don't think the Browns are getting their credit for that.
Okay.
So, like, I'm hearing about Malik Nabers and Jackson Dart in New York.
So when we say Browns, you should be saying Myles Garrett and then... And then
Carson Schwessinger, I would say Denzel Ward, Harold Fannin Jr.
I would go Myles Garrett and Denzel Ward. That's how I would start that convo. But then I think a lot of people, I think everyone just skews so much of the defense or the offensive side of the ball that we get lost in that a little bit.
Harold Fannin Jr., baby. BG's finest.
I'm sorry to tell you this, but Brock Bowers and Harold Fannin Jr. aren't in the same class right now.
Okay, we can step outside now if you want to.
I hate to break it to you. Hey, the rest of the NFL is just slow on this. They're just slow on this. They're taking some time to get up on that. But Brock Bowers right now, different class.